More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, the Beatitudes. What's the hardest thing about being a great dad or supporting the dad in your life? We're talking about what it takes to be a father after the father's heart. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone, and a happy Friday to you. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, it's kicking off Father's Day weekend.
It is indeed.
And our show is titled The Beatitudes. We're looking at the hardest things about being a great dad today or supporting the dad in your life. What does it take to be a father after the father's own heart? Give us a call and let's talk about those challenges that you're facing, men, of being a great dad, or ladies, of supporting the dad in your life, whether that's your husband or any
your
other
own father,
you know, your own dad.
Or those, you know, people you know who are struggling along trying to be a dad in a culture that says, nah, not so much.
Exactly.
You don't matter anymore. Go away. I think dads are under attack in a way that's never been known in history. Dads were always significant, always important. You know, they were the guardians of their home. They were the providers for their family. They were the supports to the women and children, and emotionally, physically, in every temporal way you can think of, spiritually for sure. And now society is saying, go away. We don't need you at all. Just leave us alone. We've got this under control. And I think this is heartbreaking. I think it's dangerous. And I think it's difficult for all involved. And if Father's Day makes you wince in any way, shape, or form, if it makes you wish as a man that you could break through to your children's hearts a little bit more, be more present to them in some way, overcome some marital difficulty that's making it tough for you to be a dad, we're here for you. If you're the mom who's seeing that your kids need more from their dad, a stronger dad, a more present dad, a more loving dad, a more involved dad, and for some
more
reason...
More faithful dad.
More faithful dad. Yeah, thank you. I've underlined that one 18,000 times. And you're just saying, okay, it's Father's Day, but there's that little that's not just, I don't want to get him another, you know, tie. It's I really wish we could ramp this up a little bit. I wish my kids had fill in the blank. We're here to help you today.
877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions about overcoming the obstacles that stand in the way of being a great dad or supporting the man in your life to be that great dad. 877-573-7825.
And of course, if you're dealing with those father wounds in your life, if you're that person who maybe you're a grown person and you're still wishing you could possibly reconcile with your dad, where you could heal that one wound, or you wish he was still around because you're still harboring some issues, some problems, some hurts, and you're thinking, how do I deal with this now? If it has to do with relationship with dad, we're helping you out with it today at 877-573-7825. 1-800-425.
You know, some interesting news. A new study published in the Journal of Marriage and Family Therapy out of Brigham Young University looked at dads, and the good news is they found that fathers are in many ways more involved than ever. I mean, the downside is that the children, there are more fatherless children than ever.
There are.
But among the fathers who are present, they are actually present, which is in fact spending more time, the study shows, with their children than at any other time in history. And so that's a very positive thing. But we, of course, need more dads to actually be there and be involved and be engaged, because kids really do need mothers and fathers. Looking at this, though, from the perspective of the theology of the body, we're reminded that parenthood is actually a ministry. And I want to underline this, especially for all you guys out there, you know, who have a real heart for the church and who want to build God's kingdom and do good things. We often, as men, forget that fatherhood is a ministry. That the theology of the body reminds us that in fact our fatherhood is the source of all ministry, because everyone is called to either spiritual motherhood or spiritual fatherhood. That's the way we nurture other people's faith and development. And if we have children, our primary ministry, our primary apostolate has to be to being present to them and forming them and raising them and being present to them. Because we have a tendency to think, well, you know, just taking care of my family, that's not doing anything big for the church. That's not doing anything really for the kingdom. That's not helping me grow as a godly man. Yeah, it is. Because that's your sacrament. I mean, imagine for a minute, if you had a pastor, okay, who was really into whatever, you know, whether it was doing some good work, let's say serving the poor, right, or trying to advance the pro-life cause or whatever, but he never showed up for Mass.
Oh, you know, boy.
Or never showed up to for confession.
Yeah, the essential sacraments were not they were neglected.
And if you challenged him on it and you said, Father, why didn't you have Mass on Sunday? And he said, well, because I was out feeding the poor. I was doing good things for the kingdom. Well, yeah, but that kind of misses the point,
well,
right?
Here's the parallel to that I really want to point out. Your reaction would be, but Father, any of us can go feed the poor. Only you can give us the sacraments. And fatherhood is the same. Of course, if we have extra time, we should be out there doing those corporal and spiritual works of mercy outside of our homes. But only the father can be the father to those children. Same with moms. This is such a point of acuity for me. The first ministry you are called to is to be there for the people God has given you, your spouse and your kids. Nobody else can fill that role. Nobody else can fill that role. Anybody else can pass the basket at church, can feed the poor, can serve on the Knights of Columbus, and on and on and on. Those are good and wonderful ministries.
Yeah, and that's not knocking any of that. We need more people involved in all those ministries.
And more men for sure, but primary place goes to those who are involved in that marital sacrament with your spouse and your kids.
Because, I mean, you know, the biggest challenge for a lot of families is getting dad involved in faith stuff at all. But
sure.
But for among those dads who are, very often your kids end up being orphans because of all your ministry work. You know,
to use Pope Francis's
Pope Francis said, you know, there are too many children who are orphans in the home, who have mothers and fathers, but whose mothers and fathers aren't present to them. So, you know, I just want to remind all of you, again, from the perspective of the theology of the body, being a mom or a dad is an important apostolate. It's the main ministry that we as lay people, as parents, get to do, passing on God's love to our children, raising children to be the godly, faithful, loving, responsible people that the world needs, that the next generation needs. That is a critical ministry, and it is world-changing and kingdom-building to be a great dad. So we're asking you, you know, what are the hardest things about being a dad? You know, discipline issues, marriage issues, struggles with time, of getting the emotional stuff out of the way to be able to be present the way you'd like to be. You know, you name it. What's hard about being a dad? For all the ladies out there, you know, what's hard about supporting the man in your life in his dadhood? You know, in his ability to be present to the kids the way you would love for him to be. In really being able to either support him or challenge him in the way he needs to be supported or challenged to be a father after the father's own heart. Give us a call. Let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Today, throughout the program, we're going to be sharing with you different more-to-life hacks, as we do from day to day. But these hacks are going to be drawn from my book, The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. It's a book that looks at the Beatitudes, all 8 Beatitudes that Jesus gave us on the Sermon on the Mount, through the lens of fatherhood. You know, Pope Francis made the point that the Beatitudes are supposed to be a blueprint for Christian living. Well, in reflecting on that, it occurred to me that the Beatitudes are really God the Father's way of revealing to us how He parents us, and how, then, as fathers, we can be fathers after the Father's own heart. And so I go through each of the Beatitudes and look at it in terms of how that beatitude can order a man's relationship with God, you know, as a son of God, with his wife, and with his kids, so that we can use our fatherhood both as a ministry and an opportunity for spiritual growth. So if you're interested, check it out, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com or EWTN Religious Catalog. It's a great last-minute Father's Day gift for you as well. 877-573-7825. We are talking about the Beatitudes today, what it takes to be an awesome dad, and some of the hardest things that maybe you're facing in your desire to be a great godly dad, or, ladies, to support the man in your life in his fatherhood. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we thank you for revealing the Father to us. And Father, we thank you for being a loving, present Father and taking time out of the busiest schedule in the universe to be present to us in so many ways and provide for all of our needs so generously and so abundantly. In a particular way, we lift up all the men who are tuning in today, and we ask, Lord, that you would bless us in our fatherhood, both our spiritual fatherhood and in our actual fatherhood, that in everything that we do, we can find ourselves in making a gift of ourselves to others in ways that help them fulfill their potential, draw closer to you, and become everything that they were created to be in this life. Help us so that we as men can be icons of your fatherhood. And we lift up all the women who are tuning in today so that they would know how to support the men in their lives to be the fathers that you call us men to be. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of
the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
And St. Joseph,
pray for us.
We are kicking off Father's Day weekend with our show titled The Beatitudes, taken from my book of the same name. We're looking at what are the challenges men face in being great godly dads, and what are some of the things that you ladies can do to support the men in your life in their fatherhood and being a great godly dad? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jeff, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kansas City, Kansas, on Sirius 130.
Hey, Jeff, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning.
How's it going, sir?
I'm doing well.
Great. What can we do for you?
Well, I was listening in on the show, and I have for quite some time, been, concerned is the best word, with my son in that he's full grown. I mean, he's 40 years old, has a wonderful marriage and two beautiful grandchildren. My sense is that he really doesn't have a faith life. He was raised up in Catholic schools in elementary and high school. But today, I mean, I'm just concerned that, you know, maybe faith isn't something that he has in his life, and
you don't seem sure, Jeff. So, I mean, talk to me about that a little bit. Like how close are you with your son? How often do you talk? And when you do talk, are you able to talk about kind of these more meaningful things, like the kinds of topics you're addressing with us today?
You know, we have talked about it, and he even thanked me for, you know, his education, and he was glad that he was brought up in the school, the Catholic schools and all that. But, you know, he's not sure that, you know, there, you know, really is, that's really the answer, or that is the mm-hmm. I guess in some ways that, you know, I think he believes that there is God and all that, but I don't know that he believes that, you know, yeah. The faith, the pursuit of the faith is through the scriptures and prayer.
Sure, I gotcha. Well, so here's the thing, and this is I think kind of eye opening for a lot of parents, and I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to give you some ways forward with it. Okay, Catholic school is about catechesis, which is a different thing than evangelization. Okay, catechesis is where you kind of learn to unpack what you presumably have already experienced. So catechesis assumes that I've had an encounter with God. I know who God is. I have a relationship with God, and now I want to understand that relationship. So I'm going to go to school to learn lessons about how to make sense out of this relationship that I've already got at home. Unfortunately, a lot of our kids don't get evangelized. We don't do a very good job of actually helping them encounter the person of Christ growing up. We send them to school to learn about God, and God becomes just one more subject, and sometimes a boring one at that, that I can't relate to and doesn't make any sense to me because I've never met the person we're talking about. So when your son's, when you say your son went to Catholic school but now just sort of fell away from the faith, and millions of people are in that same boat.
Oh, so many.
But any time I encounter, I mean, almost 100% of the time I encounter somebody in that boat, what they did was they learned a lot of facts about God and learned a lot of faith facts, but they never actually met him. They never really had a meaningful encounter with him. So what that means to you, Jeff, at this point in your life and your relationship with your son, you got to find some way not just to talk about God with him and not just to talk about the church with him, but to make God a real person to him. So here's how to do it. When your son is calling you up and saying, oh, man, work's kicking my butt, you know, or gosh, you know, things are really, I'm having a hard time with my wife, or the kids are driving me crazy, or whatever. In that moment, say, empathize first. Say, I'm really sorry you're going through that, son. And then without asking permission, without saying anything else, just say, you know, Lord, please bless my son and really help him with this situation. Help him to know how much you love him. Guide him through this. Give him everything that he's lacking to be able to be more than an overcomer in this situation. Boom, you're done. Amen, right? It's 10 seconds.
And then don't wait the pause of the silence to see what his reaction is. Just say, and I'm going to keep praying for you, son. Now, what do you need to get through the week this week? You know, change the subject a little bit, but take him back right into conversation. So he's had that, wait a minute, what did Dad just do thing? And then as he gets off the phone with you, as he goes through his week, he's like, okay. And then you do that whenever that opportunity of him telling you about anything in his life that's not perfect comes about. You don't make it long and poetic. You don't, like, you know, make him do the Father, Son, Holy Spirit with you. You don't
ask permission.
Yeah, just talk to God as though he was in on the conference call, because he is. And he's just really being asked to be invited. And so you want to open up that conduit of grace between you, your son, and God, so that you can begin to introduce him to the very real person of a God who loves him and wants to be part of his life.
Yeah, so your son, my guess is, has been catechized but not evangelized, and this kind of prayer will help him encounter God as a real person who really cares about him and his concerns and wants and stands at the ready to provide the grace and the resources that your son needs to be the man that God is calling him to be. Introduce him to the person of Christ, Jeff, through that kind of prayer.
And I have to say, if you're not comfortable with that kind of prayer, if you're not even really sure you've really met the person of God, that you're a religious person, but you haven't engaged in a personal relationship with God, now's the time. Now is the time to just go to God at the end of every day or the beginning of every day and say, "Hey, Lord, I don't know if I really do know you as a person, and I wasn't able to give you to my son, and I want both of us to have you now. So help me to know who you are. Help me to begin to talk to you and know you every single day." He will come into that void because he's been waiting.
Amen. And Jeff, I'm going to encourage you to pick up a copy of the Beatitudes, because at every age and stage, we never stop being fathers to our kids. And I think this book will really help you see more ways that you can be present to your son, even in his adulthood. God bless you, Jeff, and thanks so much for having a great heart and wanting to reach out to your son. I know you spoke for a lot of dads today. 877-573-7825. What's the hardest thing about being a dad or supporting the dad in your life? You know, what are the challenges in trying to be a godly dad, a faithful dad, a present dad? Or, ladies, in supporting your husband or the dad in your life to be that guy that your kids need him to be? 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. In addition to taking your calls, we're going to be joined by Rachel Watkins, the mom of 11 and developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club. She's going to be talking about how all you ladies can support the man in your life to be the dad God wants him to be. So stick around for that and a whole lot more, including your calls, when More to Life continues after the break.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. I want to announce that Steve Ray and I will be going on pilgrimage to the great land of Poland, August 21st to August 30th.
We're going to follow John Paul II, Maria Faustina and the Divine Mercy, and Maximilian Kolbe. We're even going to visit Auschwitz and see the place where Maximilian Kolbe gave his life in the cell there.
People can get more information at AveMariaRadio.net. And where else, Steve?
CatholicConvert.com. Click on the big pilgrimage banner or call 866-468-1420.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Now, on the Ave Maria Radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic Adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria Radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Wow. Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. We are talking with you today about fathers on our show titled The Beatitudes, as we look at the toughest things about being a great godly dad or supporting the dad in your life. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11.
And wife.
is joining us today to talk about how the ladies can support the dad in your life to be a great godly father. Hey, Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
I'm glad to be here. I love this weekend.
Do you love this weekend? You know, you've got 11 kids. You needed a dad in their life to not just bring them into the world, but to really raise them up to be people of God. How do you help support Matt to do just that?
Well, I've got a couple things that I've learned over the 30-plus years we've been married. And the support I've given to Matthew has changed over those years. It was different when I had little kids. Now I've got young adults. But some things have remained the same. The first thing is I have to remind Matthew regularly of his successes. He can beat himself up pretty hard, and he can forget that he is a good dad. He'll remember the last time he lost his temper rather than the 3 weeks he kept it. So I remind Matthew regularly, every day if I remind myself, Matt, you're a great dad. You know how to do this. You've done it well. God has graced you with real superpowers to be a good dad. The second thing I do for Matthew is I keep him in the loop. My playbook as the mom is not kept secret in our house. I make sure he knows what kids are going through rough spots, what kids need a little extra attention, what kids need to be reminded that they are special. So I don't want to hold anything back from Matt. I want to make sure that he knows all the great things that are happening, but mostly attuned to when our kids are hurting or sad so that he can be a strong force for them. The last thing I've done, like I said at the beginning, is Matthew and I have worked really hard to change our parenting techniques and styles as our kids have gotten older, the longer we've been married. And I've encouraged Matt to make those changes, whether it's that I'm just offering him support, I might recommend a good book. But I want him to know that I support him changing as a dad and that I always have his back.
Hey, Rachel, I want to thank you for being with us today and sharing some of those insights. You know, behind every great dad is a woman supporting him in his fatherhood in some way. And I want to thank you for being a great support to Matthew and encouraging all the ladies out there to do what they can to help the men in their lives be godly fathers. If folks would like to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club, you can go to beyondpublications.com. I beg your pardon. Beholdpublications.com.
There you go.
I'm going to take a break.
Beholdpublications.com.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Vatican II teaches that every baptized person is a participant in the threefold office of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. So as priest, Christ is a sanctifier. He effects a reconciliation between divinity and humanity, right, by his great sacrifice on the cross. Every baptized person does indeed participate in that, in the measure that we all have that calling to reconcile divinity and humanity, to bring God to people and people to God. That's true of every baptized person. Vatican II further specifies that the ordained priesthood is different, not only in degree, but in kind. And it has to do with the identification between the ordained priest, I think, and the Mass, and a unique relationship to the sacraments. Every baptized person has a task of reconciling divinity and humanity. The ordained priest does it in this sort of heightened sacramental and Eucharistic way.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the wisdom of God, and so we try to develop the mind of Christ, whether we're looking at the bioethics of gene editing, immigration in the United States, abortion at the Supreme Court, or movies in Hollywood. So join me as we look at the news of the world through the lens of Scripture and the teaching of the Catholic Church.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, this afternoon, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
It's practically an epidemic. 20% of Americans suffer from anxiety disorders, and millions more wrestle with worry and stress on a daily basis. For us as Christians, all that worry gets mixed up with a lot of guilt. How can we stop worrying and start living an anxiety-free life? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and in my new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, you'll learn how to respect how God made us
and build new habits of thinking, communicating, and acting that will help set you free from worry. You can get your copy of Unworried and any of my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popcheck. One of the biggest challenges facing newly married couples is when you have your first or your next baby. Here are three steps to help you work out this question together. Step one, ask yourself, what does God want? God has a plan for your family, and the closer you follow God's will, the happier you'll be. Pray about it as a couple, consistently and openly. Step two, practice what the church calls responsible parenthood. Openness to life doesn't mean just openness to conception. It also means meeting the true needs of the children you have. Ask God if you have the emotional, relational, and temporal resources to raise another child happily in His love. And step three, always stay open to what God wants to give. Even if you've discerned that this isn't the time for a baby, avoid the attitude of, we're done. Fertility is a gift. Don't block God's gifts with artificial means. For more guidance on Catholic family planning, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. And today on More to Life, we're kicking off Father's Day weekend by talking about the Beatitudes. What are the things that dads need to do to be great, godly fathers? And what are the things the ladies need to do out there to support the dad in their life? 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Pam, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida on Ave Maria Radio.
Hey there, Pam. Welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. And
Hi, what
I
can do for you?
The widowed mother of three adult boys. Two are married and have been married for 10 and 11 years each. They have between them little children under the age of five and under. And I have my third son is in a relationship with a woman who has two daughters. None of them go to church, you know, that routine. They've bought into much of the world's lies about God and the need for that. And the one that's in a relationship had a bad divorce, and she's not interested in getting married. And so I'm looking for ways to support my son that's in that relationship. I feel like there have been times that I have done an Airbnb so we can be together as a family for a week for a special occasion. And I've told them they're welcome to come, but they cannot share the bedroom. And that's just not acceptable in their terms. And so at one level, it's been a wedge. I've held strong to it, but...
Well, good for you. I'm glad you're holding those limits. Did you hear us talking with Jeff a little bit earlier in the show?
Yes, about, I did, and I picked up some of your tips that you...
Yeah, because I'm going to share the same kinds of ideas there. You know, the thing is... Again, you know, your kids know something about God, and you know, you're holding fast to the right rules, which is good, but they don't know God. And so the question is, how do they actually meet God as a real person who cares about them and their life and wants to be there for them to provide the grace and the resources that they need to lead abundant lives?
It's very much... like parenting little kids, okay? When you're parenting your child and you want them to get up in the morning and brush their teeth and make their bed, if you, as a mom who has a relationship, that child knows that you love them, that you care for them, that all good things come from mom, they're much more likely to be compliant with those routines that will make them healthier and better people. If a stranger burst into your house and said, okay, come on, it's time to get up. You have to follow these rules today. This is what we're marching by. Get up, brush your teeth, wash your face, make your bed, you know, do 20 jumping jacks. Your kid would freak out, right? They'd just not follow any of those rules because they don't know that person. often we get very much concerned about, are the kids following the rules? Because we know the rules are so good for them, right? They shouldn't be ever having relations outside of marriage. It's not good for their bodies. It's not good for their psychology. It's not good for their souls. So we as parents will emphasize that, and yet we're saying, because God said so. And they're like,
Who is this God person?
Who is this stranger who has a right to give me orders and take away the little scrap of love that I'm settling for because I don't know how much love I was created for because I don't know him and I don't know what I was created to be. And so when we just settle on, hey, these are the rules, instead of, wow, how can you get even more love? How can you feel better about yourself? How can you feel more secure? Do you know there's somebody who loves you more than anybody on this earth could ever love you and wants the best for you? They respond the same way as if a stranger walked in and started giving them orders.
So again, right, the first thing to do, like we were suggesting with Jeff, is when your kids call you up and are talking about their life, and especially if they're talking to you about some difficulties they're going through, first empathize with them. Let them know that you really care and that you're sorry that they're going through that. But then with the next breath, bring God into it as if he was on the conference call, because he is, and just say, Lord, please help my son with this situation, or please let him know how much you care about him and give him the grace that he needs to handle that meeting well or deal with his kids in a better way and let him know how much you love him. And then move on to something else. So you don't make it an issue. You're not asking permission. You're introducing your kids to God in that moment.
And I would really encourage you, when your son is talking about his girlfriend's children, who he's helping to raise at this point, if he has concerns about his relationship with them, if he has concerns about the world in which they are growing up, because he cares about them, that's a wonderful opportunity to just say, well, what kind of virtues do you think they would really need? Do they need to know they're loved more? Do they need to have more courage in this situation? Do they need more guidance from you? Asking him what he wishes for these young people, what he would love for them to be able to know about themselves, will then get him starting to think, or give you more opportunities to talk about what he really deserves for himself as well, and maybe the times where he feels absolutely bound and unable to help them. You could say, well, let's pray for them right now, and just start to pray for those kids with him and say, maybe you need to pray with them occasionally and help them have the guidance of God, because the world's so messed up right now.
So secondly, when it comes to this conversation about, you not letting them sleep together in your house, again, good rule to have. I totally support you in that.
And you don't ever have to relent on something like that.
But I want you to use that as a springboard for a bigger conversation. It's not just, you're not allowed to sleep together in my house because God says so, or the church says so. It's, I know you guys think I'm a big stick in the mud about this, but the reality is, I think you both deserve better than you're giving each other. And you might disagree with me, that's fine. But I really believe that if you're going to be with somebody like that, you deserve to make promises to each other that you're always going to be there for each other. And you guys haven't done that. And it makes me sad that you're settling, and that you're kind of settling for less than you have a right to expect from each other. And that's what I'm standing for. I'm trying to say to you both, I love you both so much that you deserve to have the whole package. And I feel sad that you're willing to settle for less. That's all I'm trying to say. And you can take that message, you can leave that message, but that's what I want you to hear in my asking you to not sleep together in my house. To realize that I'm trying to stand up for both of you because I love you and I think you deserve more than you're settling for. So you make it about that, not about the rules. Finally, and this is important for all parents of adult children, when our kids aren't living up to the faith, or their relationships are not godly relationships, it's important for us to reflect a little bit on the witness that we have given and are giving. Have we modeled for them a godly marriage, a prayerful household, a prayerful marriage? Have we modeled for them a household where God was a real part of the family? If we did, great. If we didn't, it's important to acknowledge that and apologize for it. To be able to not just lecture our kids, but to say to them, guys, I'm really sorry that I didn't introduce you to God as a real person. I'm really sorry that your dad and I didn't show you what a prayerful couple and a prayerful family looked like. that's something that I wish I could have given you, and I wasn't able to, and it breaks my heart, but I'd really still love to be able to give that to you in some way. Let me show you how. And you work on your own marriage to make it that prayerful, godly relationship.
Or your own relationship with God, since you're a widow in this situation and you can't. Or talk about the times occasionally, you know, over a meal where you maybe kind of hid that spiritual part of your marriage. But you can say, oh, I remember when your dad and I were praying about this when we were deciding where to go on vacation or
and
where we were deciding.
To that. Yeah.
And just bring it up as part of a conversation if it was there, but it was behind closed doors. It's okay to say, you know, I discovered this late in life, or I'm still discovering it, and it's giving me joy, and it's giving me healing, and I would love to share it with you. Wherever you're at, you don't have to be a perfect parent. You just have to share the walk with your kids as best you can, and in a really genuine way.
Thanks for the call, Pam. And folks, if you are struggling to either be that great godly dad or to support that dad in your life, we want to hear from you at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. What's the toughest thing about being a dad today, especially a godly dad? What's the hardest thing about supporting the man in your life to be the dad that you know God wants him to be? 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with a listener who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Hey there, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi. My daughter approached me a few days ago, very upset. She had found out that my husband, her dad, has been following some pretty raunchy websites on Instagram. They're not actually nude pictures, but they're very raunchy. And she's very upset about it. We approached him about it, and he half-heartedly apologized and got very defensive. And my daughter said she didn't really want to be around him that day. So we left that night. We told him we were going to be home. We just stayed in a hotel because she just didn't want to be around him. And I guess it's a long story, but I don't know where to go from here. He's very defensive about it. He's actually turned this back around and told my daughter that I was overreacting by, you know, leaving and going overnight. She's 18. She's about to go to college. And one of the websites was that he's been following is, it's called like college co-eds. And,
oh my.
You know, she's upset about that.
Sure, of course she is. So
I don't know where to
let me ask you this. What's his spiritual life like in general? I mean, this is a problem. This is a common enough problem with many men, all men. But you know, well, tell me about what's where he's at spiritually in his pursuit here.
He goes to church. He's very pro-life. He's very conservative in his political views.
You guys pray together?
No, he doesn't want to do that. I've asked, and he doesn't do it. He won't do it. He might do occasional prayer, you know, before bedtime with our daughter, but he won't. He doesn't take control of that at all.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of actually living the faith out at home, what do you guys do?
Well, I'm very, very, very close to my faith. I take my daughter with me to several.
That's what you do. I'm asking what he does.
Yeah. Nothing.
Okay.
He'll go to like a pro-life rally with me.
Yeah, so for him, faith is an activity.
It's a political movement.
It's a political thing. Yeah. It's not a personal relationship with God. It's not a I want to face the broken things in my life and have God actually change me. It's not a I want to be vulnerable and intimate in my relationship with God and my family.
And we're not condemning where he's at. You need to understand that. A lot of people are right there where we understand church as a building we go to, an activity we do, and it occasionally makes some people side more in one political party or purpose than another, and they think, I've got all my bases covered. I've intertwined all of this in my life. I'm involved in such and such social movement. I go to church. I'm good. Check that box, and we're fine. And yet we're starving for love and for intimacy that only God can fill. And unfortunately, many people try to seek it out and medicate it by doing all sorts of things that aren't good for them, including things on the internet that are not going to ever fill that void and can really hurt themselves and their family.
See, it's because the reason we're bringing this up is because, yes, of course, it's possible for a godly man to fall prey to this kind of behavior. But a godly man who's confronted on it is going to say, you know what? You're right, and I'm sorry, and this is what I want to do about it, because I recognize that I'm failing God and I'm failing you, and this is not
and
okay.
Myself, yeah.
And it's not okay. But your husband isn't giving you that response, which is saying that on a lot of levels he's pretending. And I think you need to call him out on that lie, to say to him, you know what, honey, this all means that the way you live your faith and the image that you project is a lie, and I'm not willing to live with a liar like this. You need to address this problem seriously if you want to continue to be here. Because the only thing is, he's only going to address this if you make this into an issue. So I would really encourage you to make an appointment with a good, faithful marriage therapist. Faithful being the key here, because another therapist might not even see this as an issue. But it is a serious problem. Secondly, you need to really reframe it for what it is. This is not just him looking at inappropriate pictures on the internet. This is about him, in the way he responded to this, not really taking his faith seriously and making it all about what a great guy he is out there fighting the pro-life cause and showing up at church and putting on a great image. It's all about him. It's not about conversion.
Well, and it's also about his lack of respect for you and his lack of respect for your daughter. I mean, for her to be so brokenhearted and say, Dad's looking at girls my age in a really inappropriate way. That's making me feel violated. It's making me feel sick. It's making me feel uncomfortable. And for him to say, oh, Mom is just being overwrought about this and belittle her feelings, says that he's just checked out in terms of his level of respect for you and for your daughter, not to mention most women. And he really needs to have somebody who is professional and can't let him wiggle out of this, because they know how to, you know, keep his feet to the fire on this. Really talk to him about how this is not a healthy dynamic for him or for his family, and what you can all do together to change this dynamic.
So don't let the issue die, and don't let it just stay with this one thing. Recognize the bigger picture. Follow through by making an appointment with a therapist who can really work with you guys. If you can't find somebody locally, by all means, reach out to us at the Pastoral Solutions Institute. If he won't go with you, go yourself to begin to learn how to set more appropriate limits, because, as Lisa points out, this really is a respect issue. Because once you confronted him with it, if he respected you, he would say, you know what, I don't want to look at this, but you're right, and I'm sorry, and let's come up with a plan for addressing the problem.
Even if he'd say, this would be hard for me because I'm addicted to this, he'd at least want in some way to realize that this is hurting you.
But the fact that he's not willing to receive that feedback from you means that he doesn't really respect you. And that's a deeper marital issue that can't just be fixed by this casual conversation.
It can
this.
Be fixed, but it needs a doctor. It needs, you know, somebody who's a professional can come alongside, like you would need to fix a bone. You need to fix this aspect of how he's looking at you and your daughter and your relationship.
So again, if there's more we can do to support you or the marriage, don't hesitate to reach out at CatholicCounselors.com. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, continuing to talk with you about being a great, faithful, godly dad and supporting the men in your life to be the dad God is calling them to be. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading, It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today about the Beatitudes, about being a great, faithful father, especially on this Father's Day weekend. We thought we'd look at the challenges that dads face in being godly dads and the challenges that women face in supporting the men in their life to be the dads God is calling them to be. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Kathleen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Denver, Colorado.
Hey, Kathleen, welcome to More to Life.
Hey, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm excited to be on your show.
Thanks. What can we do for you today?
Well, I don't actually have a question, but I was listening to you respond to a couple of the other callers, and my husband and I have been so blessed in our marriage and our family, and one of the things that we do with our, well, with our only daughter when she was growing up, you said when your child mentions something that's not going quite well or they're complaining about something,
that's an opportunity
to bring, you know, God into the conversation. But I was going to suggest, although I'm not a counselor or anything, you know, why wait for that? Like, what if the child says, hey, things are going great, and, oh, my wife got a promotion, or my child won first place in the track meet? I mean, praise God. What a blessing that is. How blessed you are. Like, don't ever take those things for granted. I mean, there's always...
No. You're absolutely right, especially if they are faithful already. To be able to say that allows them to share that with you. And especially if they're growing, when the kid's little, one of the things we recommend all the time is making sure that God is recognized for those little blessings, whether it's,
hey,
thank you, God, for letting me get this good parking space near the grocery store
thank you, God, for the beautiful sunset, or thank you that my kid passed his spelling test or whatever.
Absolutely. But it's a little trickier when you're dealing with adult children who fell away from the faith or the church.
And here's the trick with this, Kathleen. When you are super enthusiastic about your faith, which is a great thing to be, and you're, say, in the case of our other listener, your 40-year-old calls you and says, hey, Mom, I got a promotion. If you automatically go to, well, praise God for that. Look at the miracle he gave you. Isn't this fantastic?
If they're faithful, they'll hear that and praise God with you, and that's a good thing.
And that's fantastic. If they're fallen away, if they're angry, if they're living in opposition to the church, for whatever the reason, what they're going to perceive that as, because Satan likes to twist things, is, Mom doesn't think I deserve any of the credit for this. I worked really hard for that promotion, and Mom thinks it's all God because she's always spiritual all the time, and she's belittling me and all of my hard work and just kissing it up to God and not really hearing or validating me. And that actually makes your adult child outside the church angrier at God. Oh, you get all the attention, God. I don't get any. Suddenly, God's living in opposition for all of the validation and love that your adult child is asking from their parents.
Again, if we're talking about raising younger kids, absolutely. Making God a part of those conversations in positive ways is is the normative way to deal with it. It should be constant. Thank you, God, for letting my kid do great on the test. Thank you, God, for letting for giving us this great time as a family. Thank you, God, for letting us make these great cookies. You know, whatever it is, making God a part of that conversation in positive ways. And even with adult children who are faithful, saying, oh, praise God, that's just the most wonderful thing. I'm so glad that you were able to do that.
And then you can come alongside each other and truly praise God together, and it's wonderful.
But if you've got an adult kid who has fallen away from the church, saying to them, praise God, comes off, number one, as lecturing, and two, undermining of the efforts that they've made to them. That's not your intention, but that is guaranteed how they will take it. So you're actually
undermining your efforts to bring them closer to God, because they begin to see God as a rival for your attention and your affirmation. So you can get to that eventually. You can say, wow, I'm really glad that God has blessed all of your efforts at the end of the conversation of really listening to what it took to get this promotion or whatever it is. But don't invalidate everything they're asking you as mom to validate, because mom and dad are the only ones who really matter when it comes to validation sometimes, and we throw that away.
On the other hand, when these adult fallen away children are struggling, they're feeling more vulnerable. They might think you're crazy for asking God for help, but they'll take help wherever they can get it. So they will be less likely to experience that as some kind of rejection or dismissal or lecture, because you're being empathetic first and then saying, you know, God, I wish I knew more what I could do, but you please step into the gap and help them deal with this situation. They're more receptive to that if they're in a weak or vulnerable place, and you're just bringing that as an additional resource alongside of the empathy and support that you're actually providing as well. So hopefully that addresses your question, Kathleen. I really appreciate you calling, though, and giving us the opportunity to clarify that, because you're right on. Normally, we should be bringing God into every situation, not just the sad ones. Folks, if you'd like to learn more about how you can be a great dad or raise a faithful family, check out the resources that we've got for you at CatholicCounselors.com, including the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com or call 740-266-6461 to make an appointment to speak with someone. God bless. Have a great Father's Day weekend.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.